Let's bless you. Father, bless these that study. You've always blessed those that study. You are the one through the Holy Spirit that taught us that we should have an answer for any question people ask. And you are the one who said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And therefore we enter into this penetrating study, and we do it in holiness and humility, and we are seeking to know better and to understand how we can be ministered to through the governor of this dispensation. And we ask you, Lord, to guide our spirits and our minds, in that we shall learn things that we have not known previously, and that we shall be able to move closer to God through these studies. We thank you for it. There is no a group of studies more difficult, I presume, than to speak, number one, of deity. When you seek to describe deity, you're out beyond yourself. You might as well know that. And probably the greatest controversies in the world is related to deity. And so we acknowledge that we are in a controversial subject, but we do have a humble spirit about it. We don't claim to have all the truth. We claim to be a searcher after truth. And if we were going to give this class a name, we'd call you the Searchers, which would be a pretty good name, because we are searching after truth. Now, I'm finding that some of my students in this class are finding difficulty in relationship to the Holy Spirit having features similar to a corporate person. That they seem to feel that you have to be made of mud in order to have a nose, and that you have to be made of mud to have eyes. And immediately I respond, but the Father sees. He doesn't have any mud in him at all. Adam means mud, by the way, and you're the seed of Adam. And so we're going to have to discover that there is personality without corporality. Now that might be a distance to travel, but this lesson that we are dealing with right now will assist us in this, I'm sure. We have been working together in part one of analyzing the personality of the Holy Spirit. And we worked our way over to page 13, recognizing that the Holy Spirit is the leader, spiritual, dynamic leader of this generation, that he is a guide, trusted to guide us, that he is a teacher, trusted to teach us absolute truth. And we wanted to take the canvas and to show you that you can partially know a person by what features they have. And you can. The Holy Spirit has the countenance of a judge, which was the last thought that we worked on in our last lesson. The face of a judge is a portrait of equity and of justice. A great judge looks like justice. He has made his whole personality to conform to an identity of justice. And so when we look at the Holy Spirit and we say, well, he has the face of a judge, because in him there is complete and absolute justice toward all humanity. That he will not deal with one race different from another race, one family different from another family, that whoever comes before him will have the same treatment that anybody else has. How many are glad for that? Okay. In our beginnings here, the Holy Spirit, this is at the bottom of page 13, the Holy Spirit has the face of a teacher. Now, I didn't read this anywhere, what I'm going to give you in the next 10 or 12 points. But inside of me, this thing came flowing out of my insides. Because I want to say, now, Holy Spirit, what do you look like anyway? And these came out of me, that he looks like a judge, that he has a face of justice, that you look upon him and say, hey, yeah, he will do what's right. And the face of a teacher. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 12:12, the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. A teacher's face is a face of intelligence. A teacher's face is a beautiful face, a face of wisdom, not stupidity. A face of wisdom that you look upon them and say, clever person, smart person. They are a teacher. They know, and they know that they know. They are a teacher. So the Holy Spirit bears the face of one that can teach. And so in our canvas, we say he is like a judge. He not altogether austerity, but justice. He has the face of a teacher. We see intelligence there. We see wisdom there. And then we go to something much softer than that in looking at his face. And that is your number five. The Holy Spirit has the face of a comforter. Now that presents a different face altogether, and hardly the same as a judge for sure. In John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Now, there are some dynamic relationships to features here. Let's look at them together. Number one, the comforter. A nurse is a comforter. And nurses begin to look like nurses. How many understand what I'm talking about tonight? Nurses begin to look like nurses. A nurse does not look like a scrub woman. No, they don't. You just keep looking at them, and you're going to see something there that identifies them with a profession that they're carrying out. And one of those could be comfort. They walk into dozens of rooms, and there are people there that are afraid, so they've got to calm down the room. They've got to say, no, don't be afraid, you know. And they're men must present this. Well, when we are dealing with the Holy Spirit, we walk in his presence. We come in the presence of a comforter. Calm your nerves down. Take it easy there, John, or Mary, whichever. He says, whom the Father will send in my name. It's exciting to me that the Holy Spirit did not come in his own name. Now, if I come to you in another person's name, I'm dealing with you on the premise of another person. When the Russian foreign minister walks into our president's office, and he comes in the name of the man who is the president, or who is the prime minister of his nation, he is going to relay to him what has been told him to be said from another world. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, I am not coming my name. I am a representative of one that sent me. Says whom the Father sends him. You see the working together. He will send him in my name. And then he will teach you all things. Say all things. Amen. If you stay quiet enough, you're going to come through to it. I've dealt with a lot of problems in my life. And when I stayed with it long enough, the solution began to flow through me like liquid love, you see. He shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Hey, that's something. Some of us forgetful folks need to live closer to the Holy Ghost. Amen. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Isn't it beautiful? You have a conversation with somebody a week ago, and the next week something remarkable and beautiful and amazing, and you remember the thing just like that. The Holy Spirit has promised to bring back to us the things that we should remember in God, in Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. And so we see in the face of a comforter, a face of compassion and a face of caring. So now look at what you're building up here. If you got your paintbrush out, look what you're building up. You're building up a face of equity and justice. You're building up a face before you of intelligence and wisdom. You're building up a face of compassion and caring. Maybe someone's going to draw me a picture of this on canvas and give it to me before we're through with this class. And you're drawing up from these definitions that we're showing you. Number six, the Holy Spirit bears the face of a counselor. A counselor is one that counsels with you, enters into something that you need help with. You have hit something that you cannot surmount. You have hit something you cannot get over. And here's a friend. This, I will counsel with you and help give you redirection. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion. Put your little lion under that word, communion. And the communion. Communion has to do with communing. Communing has to do with relationship. Communing has to do with chatting one with another about any one given problem. And his ministry is that he will commune with us, that he will identify with us, that he will bless us. And yet I have to break in right there and say, God is not ignorant. God cannot bless ignorance. And until we come to know a truth, we cannot get the full advantage of that truth. You see, we've got to come to know a truth before we can take full advantage of that truth. God wants us to have full advantage of it, but if God blesses ignorance, you will destroy what he gives you. Ignorance is a destroyer. And so we have to know something. Well, it's the same. If you didn't know that the Lord Jesus could save, you couldn't get saved. How are you going to get saved if you don't even know he's the Savior? So you come into knowledge that he is a Savior, and then you can be saved. So when you come into knowledge of what the Holy Ghost can do for us, then I believe our lives will be completely changed. And we'll be receiving things we've never had before. We receive God's love. We receive Christ's grace. The Holy Spirit counsels and communes, and he fellowships with us. That is part of the beautiful face that we're drawing. Number seven, the Holy Spirit bears the countenance of strength. Really, you'd like to have a half an hour on each one of these, wouldn't you? You know, something inside starts cooking up. and you'd like to just let it run free. The Holy Spirit makes us bold. In Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power, which is authority and energy. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, where they had destroyed the Lord Jesus Christ, in all Judea and Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit bears a resemblance to boldness, speaking it out, telling it, and letting it go. And that's what he said. Jesus raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 1, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we can expect the Holy Spirit to do things very strong within us. That if we're timid, we'll lose it. Timidity will be gone. If we're reluctant to speak, the power of the Holy Ghost can energize us. I've heard some of the greatest preachers in the world say that when they were a child, they were very timid and almost hide themselves and wouldn't thrust themselves forward and couldn't speak or say anything. And when God did a work in their lives, when God did a work in their hearts, when God moved on the inside of them, suddenly they had strength. And sometimes true boldness came flowing in through them, which says the Holy Spirit bears the countenance of strength. So that's the further view that we have of him. He will make us to be bold. Number eight, the Holy Spirit has the face of a leader. Of a leader. All disciples can be led by the Holy Ghost. He is our guide to Jesus and to the Father. And Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. So we must observe here the face of a leader. I believe that we can all identify with that when you see a person, you can see 8 or 10 people together, and suddenly emerging from those 8 or 10 will be a leader. In fact, I'll tell you something very amazing to me. You get 500 doctors in a room and let them start talking. And by the time they've been in there 2 or 3 hours, there'll be somebody stand up that'll be the head of that whole group and will be their spokesman. You let 500 lawyers get into a room and have a conference and let them confer with one another for a few hours, and one of those will emerge and be their spokesman. Now, those I'm not acquainted with, but you let 400 or 500 preachers get together, and before you're there very long, one or two of them emerge as the spokesman of the whole group. And when you look at them, you see the face of a leader. It might be almost indefinable, but you recognize him at once, saying, he is the leader of this group. Now you separate them, and they're all leaders. All doctors are leaders in their own profession. All attorneys are leaders in their profession. All ministers are leaders in their profession. They're all leaders. But you get them all together, and there will emerge, you might say, a super leader. There will emerge one that will speak for the whole group, and the other group will say, yeah, 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 you speak for us. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Yeah, he emerges out of the pages of the Bible, is our leader. And so he bears the face, and he bears the resemblance of a person that is a leader. Now, what we're trying to do in this lesson is to bring you into a place where you can understand the Holy Spirit is not a phantom and not just a ghost. And I said it, and I shuddered when I did say it. Then you get to heaven, you can shake hands with him. I know that shocked some people, you know. But how can a person be a comforter if you can't shake hands with him? Or how can he teach me anything if I can't look him in the eye? Are you here? All right. I think we're moving down the right road. And I want us to press hard down it and say, listen, God, we're ready for more information about this than anybody's had since the day of Pentecost. Yeah, we are ready for more information on it. Number 9, the Holy Spirit has a face of generosity. Now, I believe with all my heart that you can see generosity on a face. Are you here? I believe you can see stinginess in a person's face. You say, whoo, don't expect a tip here. I think waitresses learn a lot about personality. No wonder they spill the coffee on some of you. Well, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit bears the face of generosity. That when you see him, you say, hey, he is a giver of good gifts. And I believe you can observe generosity. Do you really? Are you going along with me? You believe this too? I believe that generosity of a countenance is something that you can just say, hey, that person would give you a lot. You can see it in his very face. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, for to one is, in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, with a capital S, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now he is a giver. He is a giver. So he bears the face of generosity. If we want to say, what does the Holy Spirit look like? Well, in his countenance, he bears the face of generosity. He bears the countenance of a mighty leader. He bears the countenance of strength and not weakness. No compromise. Look in his eyes and see not one bit of compromise. He never compromises on anything. He says it, it's got to be that way because that's the only way he believes it. All right. Number 10. The Holy Spirit possesses a humble face. How many glad we finally got to that one? A humble face. You see, you think that humility can be related to generosity and leadership. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want to tell you very, very sincerely that I've only met, you know, a half a dozen great people in the world. And when I met them, I discovered they were some of the humblest people that I've ever seen in my life. We spent 2 hours with Billy Graham, and I never found a person of a more humble countenance and words. Not braggadocious, did not brag on anything he was doing, acted as if he had never done anything. He was one of the sweetest persons I've ever met on the face of this earth. That's exactly what he was. So here he has a countenance of strength. He has the countenance of a leader. He has the countenance of generosity, you see. And he also has humility. So let's don't say that a person cannot have the others and still have this. We believe it is possible for the Holy Spirit to have a humble face. And in relation to that, we have a scripture here in Ephesians 4 and 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He has such a personality down within him that he can be hurt. Now, a man of iron can't be hurt, you know. Mighty dictators, you can say what you like, and all they do is shoot you and bury you. But the Holy Spirit is another type of leadership. He can be grieved. He can be grieved by your relationship to him. And your be there, it says he can be resisted. Now that takes you somewhere. You don't have to obey him. That he is so humble, he says, will you do it? And Acts 7:51 says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. And so it's difficult to imagine divinity and humility united in one face. It's going to be nice to go to heaven, isn't it? To see really what is good and what is great, what is beautiful. When we see arrogance on people's faces and in their words and all down here, we want to run away from it. But in the face of the blessed Holy Spirit, when we observe him, we see him that he is humble. He can be resisted. You can say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't like you. And I won't follow you at all. And you can grieve him until he says, I'm so sad and I am so sorry that you've acted this way. Now, it's difficult to have greatness and humbleness in the same person. But the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is such a person and how beautiful it is. All right, you're number 11. The Holy Spirit has the face of achievement. The Holy Spirit was there when the world was created. We're going to talk about that later. The Holy Spirit has worked in the cosmos, bringing about continents. We're going to speak about that later. In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also once suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so he has the face of achievement. He's done things. And again, if we could just dwell on that for a while, you can see that in a person's face. You let a man walk in this room here, let's say is the governor of one of the states, or the president of one of the great billion-dollar corporations. Man, when he walks in here, when he starts talking to you, he's going to start laying it out as if he's the last word on everything, you see. You say, why? He's achieved something. And that thing's on the inside of him. The Holy Spirit bears the face of accomplishment. He has done something. And we're going to talk about these things he's done a little later. But we want you to know that in trying to describe his countenance, that when you look at him, you're going to know that you're going to see there not the face of defeat, not the face of one that can't do anything, but the face of one who has ability, that can rise up, that can do things and can accomplish things, and that he has thrust on the inside of him. Really, that's the kind of person we like to follow. We like to follow a person that's going to get the job done. We want to follow the person that's not afraid to tackle the biggest jobs, you see? And that you find in that beautiful face, the face of the Holy Spirit himself. Number 12, the names of the Holy Spirit can reveal to us his facial expressions. Just the names that have been given to him. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God and is also called the Spirit of Christ. He will bear two resemblances there. In Romans 8 and 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He bears the resemblance of God the Father and God the Son as a member of that family. The Holy Spirit is a revealer of mysteries. You have the scriptures for it. The Holy Spirit produced the Bible, because the Word of God says so, that holy men were moved of God. And in 2 Peter 1 and 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so when we look at this person, we see something there in the very names that identify his personality. They identify his personality. He is called, at the bottom of page 15, he is called the Spirit of Wisdom and Knowledge. He is called the Spirit of Wisdom and Knowledge. Some of this we want you to get a hold of yourself and follow the scriptures that are there. In your point D, he is called the Spirit of Truth. Even the Spirit of Truth. whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Now there's a tremendous doctrine for you. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Sinners cannot receive him. They cannot receive him because they see him not. Now maybe we have hit a truth right there that's a blockbuster. Maybe the only way that anyone will ever know very much about what the Holy Spirit looks like are those that know the Spirit of God, because if he can't be seen by sinners, then he can be seen by saints. He can be seen by believers. He can be seen by trusters. Let's look at John 14:17 once again. Even the Spirit of Truth, he is called the Spirit of Truth. He bears truth. The world cannot receive him, so that eliminates the world, because the world seeth him not. They can't see his features, because being alienated from God, they have no way of seeing him. But neither knoweth him, but you know him. He dwelleth with you. He shall be in you. And brother, if we know him and he dwells in us and he is in us, then we can come to know him, the Holy Ghost. We can come to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Beyond doubt, without doubt, we can come to know him in his mighty power. And as I said before, we truly want to take these lessons in a stronger way than we ever have before, for the simple reason we're living in the terminal part of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now, he was mighty powerful to that first generation. He struck people dead in the altar. Peter said they lied to the Holy Spirit. Now they didn't know they were lying to the Holy Spirit because they didn't know he was in charge. And he was powerful. He shook prisons. He shook houses. He did all kinds of things. And in the last part of this dispensation, he's going to do more. I'm trying to get you acquainted with the one that's going to do more. I'm trying to get you acquainted with the one that's going to explode in majesty in these last days. And that God wants you and me to be acquainted with him. With a tender feeling. With a kindred feeling. If something is in you, it's a part of you. So the Holy Spirit is in us, and he is a part of us, and we have a right to search that we understand him better and better, in order that we might use him more and more.